All right. Let's start from Proverbs chapter 16. We'll read the Proverbs chapter 16, but before that, I think we should just start from the book of... we'll read two scriptures to start before this Proverbs chapter 16. Let's take the first one from the book of Judges. It's a story we all know very well, the story of Gideon. Gideon was... let's read his introduction from the book of Judges chapter 6. Now, if you read the background from verse 1, the issue was that Israel, as was very common with them, sinned. And then God handed them over to the power of the Midianites. And the Midianites and other people, the Amalekites and all of that, will come up and they will oppress them. It says in verse 7, now it came about when the sons of Israel cried to the Lord on account of Midian, that the Lord sent a prophet to the sons of Israel. And then what the prophet said, let me summarize it, is the fact that you are in captivity, you are in problems now because you sinned against your God, and then God delivered you to the hand of your oppressors. All right, that's the summary of it. Now, as a result of that prayer that he had prayed, God now sent Gideon. God sent an angel to Gideon. Again, we're just trying to read through the whole story, remind ourselves about it. Now, Gideon, before I say something about Gideon, let me tell you the degree of oppression that these people have suffered. And I've jumped all the verses because I don't want to read it line by line and spend so much time. The truth was that what used to happen is that when these people cultivate field, time for harvest, even before harvest, those guys would just come and destroy it. For no reason, they just come, destroy it. They will graze the animals into the land of the Israelites. And the Israelites couldn't do anything about it, all right? The time of harvest, they can come, harvest your field and take it away, and there's nothing you could do. Now, I'm not bringing out a scenario here that the people had been thoroughly, all right, subjugated, all right? They were people that had been beaten down. Their self-esteem had been taken away from them. If you read that from that verse 11, when the angel of the Lord came and visited Gideon, the son of Joash, you will notice that when he spoke to him, Gideon was hiding, trying to thresh out wheat. Do you understand what I mean? Like, you harvested corn. We don't use wheat around here, so let's take corn. I want to shell your corn. So you go and hide somewhere so that the oppressors will not come and collect the corn that you have harvested. Now, that's the kind of person that Gideon was. I'm trying to bring out a picture about Gideon, all right? That is, in this situation, he was not only a small boy. When we read further down, I won't read the whole story. You know that he had a son. He had a son that was big enough to go to war with him. It wasn't a child we're talking about. Don't have the impression in your head that Gideon was one little fellow who was so weak. He was an adult. Now, but you see, even when God spoke to him directly, go and remove the idol that's in your father's house, the altar, and the wooden idol beside it. The Bible says that he was afraid to do it during the day, so he decided to do it at night. They came during the next day and found out that the idol was gone and the altar had been destroyed. And they had used the wood from the idol, Baal, to make a burnt offering unto the Lord. And that thing was still cooking when they came. Now, he had to do it at night. Please get this picture. That was the kind of person that Gideon was. He was afraid. And you don't blame him. He has been oppressed. You know, you've seen a typical Nigerian when he sees soldier. You know, do you understand what I'm saying? No, you don't understand. Typical Nigerian when he sees soldier is afraid. And there's a reason behind it. A typical American sees a soldier doesn't make any difference. He's just another human being. Because he's used to the fact that everybody's under the law. If you oppress him, he reports you, problems will begin. All right? But if you remember, Fela even sang the song. He says, policeman go slap your face, you know, go talk. I'm a man go whip your yan, she go, they look like monkey. That's the way, you know, when you have lived under dictatorship, that's the point I'm trying to make. All right? That's just the way it was with Gideon. Gideon was a man who had been thoroughly beaten, not just him, the whole of Israel. They will come collect your harvest. There's nothing you can do about it. That was the situation in which God met Gideon when God came to deliver them. Please, I'm trying to explain something about the person of Gideon. Because remember last time I said that today I will talk about this issue of fleeces. Is it okay to fleece God? Is it okay to tell God, give me a sign? Do you understand my point? And Pentecostals, we were taught that no, you have the Spirit of God inside you, therefore, he will just tell you everything. Listen to me. Don't deceive yourself. God doesn't say everything to everybody because not everybody can hear everything. Many of the things he wants to tell you, you can't hear it. The reason why I'm saying that, because I want to paint a picture about the kindness of God, all right, that God understood with Gideon. that Gideon, you go and tell a man like Gideon in that kind of state, get up, I am the Lord thy God, go and fight the Midianites. Gideon will say, go in front, I'm right behind you, there's no problem. And there was a reason for it. He didn't have the experience of David killing a bear and then killing a lion. This was a man who grew up under oppression, who had been oppressed for a long time. He was used to those people oppressing them. He had no self-esteem to process his harvest. He had to do it in secret. Even in his own father's house, he was afraid. Go and destroy an idol. He said, well, I can't do it during the day. Let me do it at night. Please, do you follow what I'm going to say? Please bear that in mind, because we need to understand this thing about walking in the will of God. That's what we've been describing. All right? It's very important we get it. I've explained that, you know, we're talking about the life of grace, that the grace of God is poured upon the person that's walking in line with God's will for his life. And we establish the fact that God has something to say about everything in life. Everything, including the time you go for Bible studies. Are you getting what I'm going to say here? God has something to say about everything. There is nothing that God doesn't have something to say about. And when we talk about the will of God, we're not talking about the one that feels good to my body or the one that appears to pay me off best of them all, but the one that is in accordance with that which God says is correct. You get what I'm going to say? The one that is in accordance with that which God recorded in the books concerning my life, all right, before I was born. Anything I do in accordance with those things is said to be done in line with the will of God. It's not relevant whether it pays me off or it doesn't. You can change a job. You lose income where you were earning maybe 10 naira before. You started earning 3 naira. And they said that guy was not smart. And God said, no, he changed his job according to my will. Do you follow what I'm going to say? That is, Moses left the palace of Pharaoh and went to dwell among slaves. It was according with the will of God. And it still happens till today. We just that we have this stupid mentality in Christianity. Having wrongly understood the gospel of prosperity, we think that once the thing does not pay materially, it's against God's will. And it's not true. You can have 10 marriage proposals as a young woman, and the only guy you choose to marry is the one that puts into struggles for 20 years. And it's the perfect will of God. Somebody will look at you and say, look, if you had married brother A, look at him now. He's a multimillionaire. It's besides the point. Brother A is not going where you're going. Let nobody use money to buy your destiny. And they can't use money to judge whether you're in the center of the will of God or not. Please, let's start thinking like Christians. You see, Christians have become crazy. That's what the Bible calls the madness of the prophet. We have become crazy in these days. I'm serious. Spiritual mental law has entered into our souls. Listen, I hope what I'm saying is making sense to you. You can pick a job and doesn't pay you 10% of what other people are earning, and it's the will of God. What is all of this rubbish we have these days? Testimony, praise God. Last time I was earning 15,000. Now I earn 650,000 naira. After I sowed that seed, may God punish you and your seed. Listen, I have seen people who sow seeds to quit a job. What is all of this rubbish? The only sign that we have tapped into God's will is that we are reaping material resources. Then what do we say about people like John G. Lake, who were, look, in today's time, those guys were multimillionaires. They sold, when Jesus said, sell all that you have, it was not a joke. They literally sold. He would take his television and sell it, take his house and sell it, and took the money and shared it out to everybody. Share the deposit, share to missions at the end of the day. Say, God, now, what do you want me to do next? And God told him, get ready. End of this month or next, end of this season, you are going to Africa. Africa. He had to pray for God to send him money to take transportation from America down to South Africa. But guess what? When he got there, come and see breakthrough of missions. Men that he left behind. Now, listen to what I'm saying. Men that he left behind, the kind of anointing they operated, they will sit down. Now, get my point. The guy will say, I'm tired. Sit down on the rock and get up. They will be bringing the sick to the rock. The blind will be seeing. The lame will be walking. People, great miracles. You tell me that because he lost money, he didn't walk in the will of God. Please shave your brain of that crazy mentality of modern day Christianity. You can be broke and be in the center of God's will. Do you get my point?
Yes,
he said, I first made you hungry, then I fed you with manna. I was trying to teach you a principle. There was a day I sent my son to school, a little boy without breakfast, that he might learn the will of daddy. He was doing too much shakara that morning. I said, your problem is that there's too much food for you to eat. I said, yeah, pack that food. He thought I was joking. Into the car now. The boss thought it was a joke. Daddy, I'm sorry. I said, too late. 5 years old, though. Into the car. We're off to school. The only thing that I got to the kids, I just called the auntie. Say, he hasn't eaten breakfast. In case you see him looking morose and, you know, understand. And let him eat his, what they call a snack. They have a snack break, all right? So let him get his snack very early. Why? That he might know the fear of God indeed. That's not my point. So next morning, when they serve him breakfast, are you eating? All correct. I'm eating. Look, as you see me so. Don't bless me with this breakfast this morning. I'm chopping it rapidly. See, in life, let me just explain this. Whether we like it or not, you are not yet walking perfectly. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
And every imperfection has to be shaved away from your life. And God will use everything necessary to shave the imperfection away from you. Do you get the point? And whatever he's using at any point in time is the will of God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Look, let's get that one very clear. Okay? Now, let me just come. I felt like getting us to understand that thing again. That what really makes something the will of God is that it is pleasing to God. It's not that it's pleasing to you. Do you follow my point? God's will in the life of Paul at the point in time was so hard. Paul went to go and pray. God, please take this thing away. At the beginning, the testimony God told him, he was telling them, what's the name of the guy? Is it Ananias that prayed for Paul? He said, I have showed him many things that he will suffer for my name's sake. Please, I hope you've gotten what I'm trying to say there. All right. So now, well, I've been explaining this principle so that what we want is to walk in a manner pleasing to God at all times. And the last thing I said in the last two meetings we had was to emphasize this issue of what I call sanctified common sense. Now, common sense, all right, is to use that which is common knowledge to you and you make a sensible decision. Do you understand my point? Now, when I say sanctified common sense, this is what I mean. That is the word of God, that which is revealed has become what? Normal. You know, that is already normal with you. Do you follow my point? That is, why am I doing what I am doing? Now, I gave this as an example several times before that when people were saying those days, invest in the stock market. I said, why? The few people that told me, say, you see, one day you are going to grow old and you will need money. You know, your children have to go to school. Every time they finish telling me all those things, I say, listen, oh God, this is called taking thought for the morrow. What we shall eat and what we shall drink and where we do shall we be clothed. I said, doesn't make sense. For me, it was common sense. No matter what you explained, I couldn't buy that. I couldn't buy that. The first time I put my hand into such activities was after I preached here. Restore our captivity, O God, as streams in the desert. I saw it as, for me, as a means of sowing into the economy. That was why the first introduction I had to it was when Charles Soludo said, capitalize all the banks to the 5 billion naira. Otherwise, you are closed at the end of 2005. I said, guys, we have to make sure the banks don't close. We need them to make our economy vibrant. And I preached it and I advised people. Now, I didn't have any relationship with the bank or anything. For me, it was common sense. So, this is just by the way. Let's just talk about that a bit. One day, I told somebody how many units of one or two banks I held that time. He said, let's do business with that. I said, what kind of business do you mean? He said, we sell, we trade. I said, no, I'm not interested. He said, look at it. Look, there's money to be made. I bought it to invest in the company. I have invested in it. I'm not a trader. The guy harassed me for long. I said, I lie. Till today, look, the stock went through the roof. It came crashing down again. I didn't shift. I didn't sell. Do you understand my point? No, after buying it, I kept it there. I said, the reason why I bought it from the beginning was to restore our captivity, O God, as streams renew the desert. And God said, he that sows in tears shall reap with joy. For me, it's common sense. I'm my wife's number one business advisor. All right? One of the major reasons I advise people to invest in businesses, all right, is just for the sake of developing the thing. I said, if you lose money, don't worry. You are so the spiritual seed. It doesn't make any difference. You look, as we go on, I will explain some of this in detail. As a businessman, as whatever job you are doing, whatever enterprise you are involved in, you know, a time will come in which it will look like this step you're about to take is going to make or break you. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Now, people say, how do you know the right thing to do? I said, you don't. It's good to pray. We're going to get down to that, all right? It's good to pray. But the first thing is you ask yourself, what is moving me? I don't know whether I get my point. What is it that is pushing me? A lot of times I watch home movies, you know. I tell people that the major problem that those who do these movies, they don't love the industry. And a lot of the people, they pay so much money to act for 30 minutes and walk away. I said they can never last. You know why? Because they don't love the industry. I said all you need to do is watch a cheap Egyptian movie, watch a cheap Indian movie, watch a cheap South African movie, and you see the difference in their quality and the what we put out there every 2 weeks. I'm trying to bring out something. One day somebody will explain to you, look, bring money, let us do this. It will be all the money you have made. But because of the love of the industry, say, look, we have to step up our level to something else. Do you get my point? Then you will make the decision, not because there's more money to me, this one will sell better. No, it's because I'm tired of watching this sham that we put on TV. Listen, when Mel Gibson was going to do Passion of the Christ, that was the logic. Let me show the world what our Lord Jesus Christ suffered for our sins. He went everywhere and everybody said, it won't make money. His own is that, look, does he have to? He told them it will sell. But for him, it was not about sales. It was about, let's make it. I don't know whether you're getting the point. I don't know if nobody agreed. The guy mortgaged everything he had. All the money he ever made in movie industry, that's what he put into the movie. And it became, I think, the second or third best-selling movie ever made. And the most profitable. Only beaten by things like Lord of the Rings and Titanic in total sales. But if you're talking about profit, they made Titanic with over $250 million. They made Passion of the Christ with less than $40 million. And they are competing in sales. What am I trying to say? Did God speak to him, my son, thou shalt make a movie to glorify my son? No. What just happened was that he desired to do it. It seemed good to us, Paul will say. That's all. It just seemed good to us. That's what I mean by common sense. And you will find out later that when you take decisions based on common sense and it is not in line with the will of God, that is when God will now send a supernatural manifestation to stop you. Paul never needed anybody to tell him to go and preach to the Gentile city. Once he saw a Gentile city, he preached. But when he tried to enter and it was not a place where God wanted him to enter, then God will stop him and hinder him. And then because Macedonia was far out of reach, he had to dream at night. A man calling from Macedonia, come over to Macedonia and help us. I'm explaining something. Except for situations like that, Paul just preached as it seemed good to him. He's waiting for Timothy in Athens. He sees all kinds of gods there. He begins to preach to the Athenians. That's just the way it works. That's what we call what? It's common sense. Sanctified common sense. Having a basic knowledge of that which is revealed. All right? Common Christian principles that all of us know. And of course, that's the point. One I want to get here is this. As you increase in understanding, for some of the things I said about investing in something just for the love of it, an average person may not know that. But after you have learned it, do you get my point? It becomes to you what? Common sense. It's when you have reached the limit of the common sense that James now said, if any man lack what? Wisdom. Let him ask. What does it mean to lack wisdom? I have used every knowledge that I have. Do you follow my point? I have used it. We want to replace Judas. We have checked who are the people that can replace Judas. We have found out that the people must be apostles of the Lamb. That is, they must be eyewitnesses of these things. That's what Jesus said. He said, you are eyewitnesses of these things. So, it was important that whoever will replace Judas had to be an eyewitness. So, they said, let's check who is the person here that was with us from the time of the baptism of John until the time Jesus rose up from the earth back to heaven. And they found only two people. After they found those two people, listen, that's where we are right now. What's the next thing they did? They now cast lots. We're going to read that one in a moment. All right? So that's what we have been discussing. People now say that, is it okay? Some people say that they cast lots because the Holy Spirit had not yet come down. That's not true. That is not true. That is not true. They cast lots because it was okay to cast lots. They cast lots because they knew how to cast lots. They cast lots because they had already done everything that was necessary. Just needed God to just choose to the left or to the right. And you say, you mean, Pastor Bank, it's okay to toss a coin. Oh boy, if that's the last thing you have to toss, toss it. the problem is that people don't want to exercise their brain. They want to just toss coin. Should I cross the road or not cross the road? Are you a fool? If a truck is coming, why should you cross the road? Why should you cross the road? If there's no truck coming, then cross the road. They say, why do chicken cross the road? To get to the other side. It's a simple thing. If you have no business on the other side, don't bother crossing the road. You don't need to toss a coin. Do you get one? Anyway, we'll keep on talking until people get this into their brains. Christians love to deceive themselves with spiritual romance. You know what I mean? As I was standing beside the road, I began to rub my son. God says, my son is trying to cross the road. I said, that's why, brother, I land on the other side of the road. Only. That's why I land on the other side of the road. Is it not because Mr. Big's on the other side of the road and you're hungry? Do you get my point? Why do you spiritualize it? No, really. We are going to explain. That's the point I'm just trying to get us to understand. That God is very kind. All right? All right. So let's get back to our discussion on Gideon. So here, where did we stop reading? Okay, so we're talking about this Gideon man. Now, under these circumstances, we're seeing Judges chapter 6. The angel of the Lord now appeared to Gideon. I began to call him names. Verse 12 says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. The guy said, the Lord is who? With who? You can't be serious. He said, if he's with us, where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did the Lord not bring us up from Egypt? He said, now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. Now, please, let's continue. I'm trying to jump so that we don't spend all the time. Then the angel, verse 14, the Lord spoke to the angel. He said, go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Don't forget how we painted the picture of the situation of Gideon, all right? He said, have I not sent you? God spoke to him. God openly spoke to him. And he said, oh Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house. But the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man. Now Gideon now asked for a sign. And if now I have found favor in thy sight, verse 17, then show me a sign that it is thou who speakest with me. Please do not depart from here until I come back to thee and bring out my offering and lay it before thee. Now, please, I'm trying to just save time. He brought out an offering, made some food, and then the angel told him to pour it and then touched the meat and the unleavened bread in verse 21 with the staff in his hand, and fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat. Now, this was God showing Gideon the sign that he was the one talking with him. Now, please, let me just again continue jumping. Then he gave him an instruction to go and break down the altar and the idol beside it. Gideon did it at night because he was afraid. But where I really want to get to is the story about the fleece. Are you understanding? In verse 33, because you see, you learn something about when I read the scriptures. There are a lot of stories that are not recorded in details because, the Bible is that small. There's so much to talk about. Apparently, what's been happening here is that all this breaking down of idol, Gideon had begun to preach. He had begun to tell them that the day of deliverance has come. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? In his little way, he was beginning to stir up some kind of unrest in the midst of the people. And the Midianites and the Amalekites desired to put them in their proper place. Do you understand the point? Verse 33. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the sons of the east assembled themselves, and they crossed over and camped in the valley of Jezreel. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and the Abiezrites, now that's his own clan, his father's clan, all right, were called together to follow him. Then they sent messengers to the whole of the tribe of Israel, that is Manasseh, their own tribe, and those ones came. Then they sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, Naphtali, and they all came up, all right, to meet him. Now this is where we are going, verse 36. Then Gideon said to God, now before we read what he said to God, get what I'm saying. This was a weak man, Gideon. Hiding man, Gideon. To process his harvest, he had to hide. Then the angel came and gave him boldness by visions and plenty of talk. Then he first broke altar, all right, and broke down the wooden idol. And God delivered him. He got a small boldness. It was stirring up strife against the Midianites. Do you guess what I'm saying? And the Amalekites. A few Israelites, I believe, had gathered boldness to challenge a few Midianites. You get my point? Then finally, all the armies of Midian and Amalek camped because Gideon caused trouble. Oh boy, even if God appeared to you, when you see the strength of the army, you go fear. That's the point I'm trying to get across. That was why the guy quickly went back and said, God, can I see you? You know, you've been preaching and preaching and preaching. No wahala. Then suddenly, the armies you were preaching against, and I appeared. The guy just said, God, please, can I see you for a moment? You know, sometimes, you know, we never can tell. It might be the way I slept that day. You know, things can happen after a few months. You start wondering, did it really happen? I don't know whether you get the point. You know, there was a day you prayed. You said you were there. You prayed, and then you finished praying. Oh, you were so sure that the Spirit of God ministered to you that this is what you are going to do next. After 9 months of doing it, you start remembering, that day, did I really pray properly? In fact, how did God say itself? This one I've been claiming was God that said it. How did he really say it? So suddenly you start doubting. Because things are not flowing the way you thought they should flow. No, that's just human. A friend of mine told me something some time ago about how agents are debriefed. You know what they call debriefing? That is, you send an agent out, maybe a CIA agent, after his mission. He comes to give a report. That reporting is called debriefing. That is, you ask him what happened and all of that. He told me then that agents are debriefed immediately the mission is over. That is, as soon as possible, you debrief the agent. Do you know why? If you debrief him immediately, he tells you what happened. If you wait for a while before debriefing him, he tells you what he thinks happened. If you delay some more, he tells you what he thinks should have happened. You see, three different things. If you debrief him instantly, he tells you exactly what happened. Now, let me tell you about imagination here. It can be so powerful when you remember imagination later, you won't know whether it really happened or it was just an imagination. In the same manner, things that happened long ago, you can easily forget too, that they really happened. In fact, that's why the Bible says you have to be careful that these things don't slip away. They just slip away from you. I'm trying to bring out something. Gideon had a vision some time ago. The thing has become weak. The challenge is strong right in his eyes. This is a man who had lived for years under oppression. God is very kind. That's the point I'm making. That was why he said, God, can I see you? And God said, no problem. He said, just to be sure. Behold, verse 37. I will put, he said, okay, let me start from verse 36. Then Gideon said to God, if thou wilt deliver Israel through me, as thou hast spoken, behold, I will put a fleece of wood on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I will know that thou wilt deliver Israel through me, as thou hast spoken. And it happened just like that. Verse 38. Then he got up again and reversed the thing. Do you understand? Let's just save time. In fact, he knew that, God, please, you might get a bit impatient. So he begged in verse 39. He said, God, please, don't be angry. Please, I'm begging you. Just one more time, I'm begging. Eh? Let this time around, let it be that only the fleece will be dry and everywhere else will be wet. This is the origin of what we call fleecing. That is the right to fleece God. The people will say that, God, if you want me to do this, please, when I get down to this brother's house, let him be wearing a white shirt. And people say, he's wrong. What if he decides to wear a white shirt? Even God did not speak to him. Wait, we'll get down to that. But let me quickly clarify it. God can make him wear a white shirt for your sake. Yes. God can make him wear a white shirt for your sake. If he said, God, please, I'm going to ask a very difficult sign. I want him to wear a purple shirt. I know he likes only white. You will be amazed. Now, I'm not saying that that's how to get direction. Please, I hope you've been following the trend. Around and say, I am just explaining that God is very kind and it's not laws. And no, when you get to the point when you need a fleece, you will know. And you will do it. And it will work. He said that it won't be often. You don't wake up in the morning, Father God, if it's egg I'm supposed to eat this morning, let the cock crow from the left side. Look, that's what has made this thing into a joke. Please, I hope what I'm saying, you guys are following. This man was a guy who had to do something hard. And God was just strengthening him. He asked God for a fleece, and God gave it to him because of his situation. He asked God for a sign using that fleece, and God gave him the sign because of the situation. If you go and read under the ministry of Jesus, the people will ask for a sign, and Jesus will refuse, and God will refuse. Do you know why? What sign do you need to obey God in basic things? Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet your neighbor's goods. What sign do you need to obey those? Do you get the point? Look, that's why God didn't use to give those people signs. They'll come and say, if you are the one to come, show us a sign. What difference does it make? You are a sinner. You have your father, the devil. Whether I'm the one to come or not, what difference does it make? Do you follow the point I'm making? For John the Baptist, who was not a sinner, but a preacher of righteousness, to identify who was Jesus Christ, you know, who the Christ was, to find out he was causing Jesus, God gave him a sign. He said, you will see. You will see the one that the Holy Spirit will descend upon like a dove. That's the one. It's not as if God was totally against signs. You follow my point? Yes, there was the use of sign to the sinful man. Remember the story of Lazarus and the rich ruler. The rich man who Lazarus used to lie down at his gate. When the guy died and he found Lazarus was enjoying in Abraham's bosom, he said, please, can you send him down to my house? Let him go and talk to my brothers so that they will not follow his footsteps I followed. I said, that guy was nice. He remembered his brothers while he was suffering. What did Abraham say? He said, it's not necessary. They have Moses with them. They have the prophecies, all right, that the prophets are prophesying or have prophesied. So let them listen to those ones. And the man argued that, no, sir, you don't understand, sir. I'm talking about somebody rising up for the dead. They will believe. Abraham said, I'm not a young boy, my friend. You don't understand spiritual principles. Let me tell it to you. The fact is that if they will not believe Moses, they won't believe even if somebody rose up from the dead. Are you getting my point? That's why God doesn't give signs. Because the people who are asking for signs, they are corrupt in their hearts and they are not willing to obey God. They are looking for a drastic sign to convert them to righteousness. And God does not have that time. When a righteous man really, all right, is in distress and he needs to know the direction to take next, and he asks God for direction, if he asks for a sign, God will give him. Do you get the point? Listen, you know, God will give him. Most people say that, you know, if you just check your spirit, God will let you know what to do. Listen to me. Listen, let's get it clear. The problem is that you've not had to take gigantic and dangerous decisions. That's why you operate by your spirit. You think this is who wants to be a millionaire? Listen, when you have 5 children, your wife doesn't work. You're the only one that works. Do you get what I'm saying? You earn a wage. You've been taking care of them for years. You have maybe you have parents, you have brothers and sisters you help. And then one day, you say, go into full-time ministry, remember full-time ministry. And you're not going to be jumping around raising offering and collecting a cut from it. You think you take such decisions by the checking inside your spirit. I just woke up this morning, I just checked my spirit. I just felt it was time to just resign this multi-million naira paying job. Listen to me, my friend. I know you are not worried about yourself, but school fees will soon come. Your father will soon fall sick. You had better be sure God called you. Now, you get what I'm trying to say. Let's be real, my friend. God is very kind. You see, Pastor Ben, what I'm trying to say, I'll tell you what I'm trying to say, is very simple. We like things to just happen dramatically. They don't always happen dramatically. Let me tell you what happens to most people. Most people, they just see their income from what they are, you know, from the job they were doing, they just found out that, look, I'm having other income from maybe the ministry I'm doing and other things I'm doing by the side. And I think I can cope, you know, for a while. And the pressure of ministry suddenly draws them away from that angle. It becomes easy. I used to say that. He said, Abraham, God spoke to him, leave your father's house. I said, my friend, he was used to moving. I hope you know that. You think Abraham just got up and just walked away? Listen to me, my friend. Abraham was not the one that moved. Who moved? His father, Terah. God said, I called you from the all of the Chaldeans. Who moved from the all of the Chaldeans? Was it Abraham? No, it was his father, Terah. Abraham followed his father. It was in Haran that his father died that God now spoke to Abraham to continue moving. Movement did not start with Abraham. It's easy to use your spirit to check whether you should eat moi moi or eat akara. It is easy. Oh, God. Listen, I'm trying to explain something to you, Christians. Look, we're not out to look for dramatic stories to tell. We want to obey God every day. Are you getting my point? And I'm telling that God is kind. When a woman habitually obeys God, and he gets to a situation in which every understanding of God he has to make crucial decisions is difficult to operate under such circumstances, God will interject a sign if he needs to. I gave myself as an example. I'm not an Igbo man. My father was born in Ondo State. My mother at the same place. I went to school there. Well, in Ondo State. After that, I went to University of Benin. Youth Service took me to Taraba State. After which, I went to Lagos to do postgraduate. The second time I came to Enugu in my life was when I came to take an appointment at University of Nigeria Enugu campus. When was the first time? I will tell you. As a medical student, we came for a conference of Christian medical students. Then, Benin was under the Eastern Zone. So, the Eastern Zonal Conference held in UNEC here, and we came. I spent 2 nights in Enugu on a campus. That was the only time I came this way. And then somebody said one day, why don't you go to Enugu? Now, me, I knew I was going to be a preacher. I mean, like, I was preaching, but I'm like, I'll do ministry properly. Where? And I just had a feeling. Now, you can have feeling for some of these things. I just had a feeling that wherever I'll go next is where I will do the ministry, where I'll go and take an appointment. Where is the issue? Listen, an office was waiting for me in University of Ife, Obafemi Awolowo University. The head of the department called me, offered me the job. Look, Dr. Lucian, I want you to come and work with me in Ife. He said, your office is waiting. The office was prepared for somebody else who had not gone over to, I think, Italy, somewhere in Europe. He said, that's the office I'm going to give you. And I said, thank you very much, sir. The prof in Ibadan asked my chief. He said that, what is this guy like? I would like him to come and work for us in UCH Ibadan. Now, all these things are there. You think I just woke up for no reason and came to Enugu? The woman I was going to marry is not even from here. What was dragging me down? Apart from one or two friends said that, Banky, come, Enugu will be very nice. I think you really like the place. Suddenly, I've painted a picture for you. Look, I had a job waiting for me in Ife. There was a half an offer for UCH.